Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. We'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We'll be continuing today in our study going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2, we'll be starting in verse number 14, which says, "For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." And we spent a few weeks looking at some issues related to this idea of suffering and what it is that the Apostle Paul is saying to this assembly in Thessalonica about the things that are going on with them and comparing it to what has happened to these assemblies in Judea who are part of the program related to the nation of Israel. And we left off here at the very end of this verse when it's saying, even as they have of the Jews. And you look at this idea of how Israel had afflicted those that were part of the believing remnants of the nation of Israel. And you see this in the early part of the book of Acts, especially of what was going on with them. Let's go over to Acts chapter number 4. And we'll see, you know, some of the examples that Luke writes here in the book of Acts related to what's going on with the assemblies. We're going to start here at verse number 1 of Acts chapter number 4. And it says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide." So the result of them preaching who the Lord Jesus Christ was, preaching the gospel message that was part of Israel's program, the end result of that preaching was that they were being cast into prison as a result of teaching that message. You know, and these are the things that, you know, as Paul is writing unto these assemblies who are part of the dispensation of the grace of God, that individuals, Paul having experienced it in his life, of where those who are teaching the gospel message for today were actually being cast into prison as a result of teaching this message, as a result of teaching the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and how a person puts their trust in that and only that, and the end result is that they have salvation today. This is the message that those who are in Thessalonica would have been afflicted as a result of preaching what was going on. Those who are here in the book of Acts, you see how they were just preaching Jesus. They were identifying him as the Messiah, the end result of it being that they were arrested as a result of it. Now, being arrested was one thing, but it continues on and it gets much worse for those who are part of this program. We'll go over to chapter number 7 in the book of Acts, and we're going to be looking at the ministry of Stephen and what happens as he is teaching the message that God has given him and how the nation of Israel responds to the message that's being preached. And here in Acts chapter number 7, we'll start here down at verse 51, because as you go through the chapter, you see how Stephen lays out the entire history of the nation of Israel, pointing out their failures, every place where they've made a mistake related to the acceptance of the message of the kingdom of God being at hand. Verse 51 says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So we see here in the ministry of Stephen, as he's presenting the message of the fact that the kingdom is ready to be offered to them, all they're going to have to do is accept who the Lord Jesus Christ is, accept what God has been doing with them, and they would be able to be part of this kingdom. And we see how the nation responds to it. They reject what God is doing. And, you know, over in chapter number 4, they were throwing people into jail as a result of teaching this message. Here in chapter number 7, it's gone from a person being thrown in jail to the fact that now they're killing the individuals who are teaching this message. And we see how it's Saul of Tarsus who's really the leader of this rejection of what's been going on here with the nation of Israel and that message. Now we continue on here, chapter number 8, the very beginning of it, just flows in and shows how, okay, Stephen was killed, but it's going to start taking those next steps here. Chapter 8, verse 1, when Saul was sentencing unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. So we see the result of the things of this havoc that's being made, this persecution that's going on, that the result of it is that they were fleeing for their life and they were scattered abroad. That's why you see when James is writing to the nation of Israel, he writes to the 12 tribes who are scattered abroad. He's writing to them after this event has occurred. Now you see how the apostles stayed in Jerusalem because they had an understanding of what it is that the Lord Jesus Christ had told them on how they were to convert Jerusalem first, and then they were to go out to Judea, then to Samaria, then to the uttermost parts of the earth, but they first had to stay at Jerusalem, convert, teach the message they had been given, face the afflictions, face the persecution that was going to come as a result of teaching this message. And you see how the failure of Israel continues on of where they're unwilling to face that persecution and they're scattered abroad, and how Saul just keeps making havoc of this church. And you see how he describes what was going on and what he was doing. If we go over to Galatians chapter number 1, to see how in his epistles he identifies what he was doing and how everything that he was doing, that even though he thought it was right, at the time that he's realizing now how wrong it was, because these things were opposing what God was doing. And here in Galatians chapter number 1, we're going to read here verses 13 and 14. And it says, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." And you see how he's describing this as persecution, as wasting what was going on, and how, you know, the result of it was that it was a profit to him, because it was profiting him here on the earth. The end result of it was there was no profit in the eyes of God, because it was completely opposed to what God was doing. Now, this persecution, this opposition that's coming from Satan, that's coming from man, is always opposing the things of what God is doing. You don't see this kind of opposition or persecution going against things that God is not doing. Now, we've seen how there's this description of all of these things related to the nation of Israel. Now, as Israel is having their program diminishing and God is dealing less and less with them, we see the description that comes out. If we go back over to the book of Acts, we'll go to chapter number 21 now to see what Luke is going to describe of what's going on related to the nation of Israel here. And in Acts chapter number 21, we're going to start here at verse number 15. And it says, "And after those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. There went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord, and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law." Now, we saw what happened in Acts chapter number 8, that these individuals were scattering. They were fleeing for their lives because of the persecution that was going on and this fear of being identified as part of this program. And from Acts chapter number 8, now to Acts chapter number 21, you see that there is a difference of where people were fleeing and fearful of this things going on. Now there's a thing of that there's thousands of Jews in Jerusalem being zealous of the law, which means that people would be able to see what it is that they were doing and how there is no opposition to what was going on, because the opposition had shifted from Israel's program over to the things that the Apostle Paul was doing. Shifted over to stopping the message of the dispensation of the grace of God. And that's why you see Paul making the thing of, you know, that everything that he faced, all the persecutions that were going on with him. And as he holds up for these saints in Thessalonica and saying, well, you know, you can see that all the things that are happening to me, but you can also see the things that had happened with the nation of Israel. You can see them as an example of what was going on. And with related to the things of the nation of Israel, if we go over to Romans chapter number 15 for a moment, we can see why Paul can hold them up as this type of an example here. And in Romans chapter number 15, when I read here verse number 4, it says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." That, you know, even though the things that are related to the nation of Israel, that they do not apply directly to us, that there are things that we can learn if we study them out, accepting it as the Word of God, understanding how it is that the doctrine actually is truly applied. But there are things that we can learn and see them as examples for us on things that are going on. And that's how the Apostle Paul actually used things related to the Scriptures that were written to the nation of Israel, and could say that they were things that were going to benefit the members of the body of Christ today as that type of an example for us. Understanding that while we're not going to keep the law, we're not going to be trying to do all the sacrifices, we're not going to have all the miracles going on, that there are still things that we can actually learn from them. And this passage here that we've been looking at in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 shows how that can actually be an example for individuals to see how the Apostle Paul can use it and how God intends for us to be able to see those type of examples in Scripture. Now, when I go back over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, because we're going to continue on some discussions related to the nation of Israel here, we're going to read verse number 15 now of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And it says, "Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men." And this description that he's giving here in this verse, you know, this is not a description of the believing remnant inside of the nation of Israel. He's describing the nation of Israel as a whole, those that had rejected what was going on. They had rejected this offer of the kingdom that had been offered multiple times to the nation. They had rejected the Messiah that had been given to them. All these things that they kept rejecting. And you see how Paul can lay those things out. And he starts it off with this issue of when he's saying, "Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets." It takes it to this issue of their killing of these individuals, and showing how what they were doing was completely contrary to what the law had said that they were supposed to do. And we can see, you know, several examples here in Scripture related to what the law actually said for them. For example, we can go over to the book of Exodus, and we'll go to Exodus chapter number 20. And we're going to have here in Exodus chapter number 20 the giving of the law to the nation of Israel, and, you know, the things as Moses is actually receiving them here up in the mountain. And, you know, this is going to be the thing of individuals, well, this is the Ten Commandments, and thinking that this is the only part of the law. What you have here is, you know, those, you know, the quote unquote Ten Commandments are just the very beginning part of the law. There's over 600 distinct parts of the law that a member of the nation of Israel was supposed to follow, all 600 plus parts of the law. And if they were guilty of one of them, they were guilty of breaking the whole law in their life. And when we look here in chapter number 20 of the book of Exodus, we're just going to read here verse number 13. It says, "Thou shalt not kill." You know, this giving of the law, telling them that it was against the law for them to kill another individual. You see that command being given again over in Deuteronomy chapter number 5 and verse 17 as Moses is recounting the things of the law to the nation of Israel as they're preparing to enter into the land. And that's really what you see a lot of things in the book of Deuteronomy is a thing of the preparation of for the nation to be entering into the land, preparation for them to be doing the things that God intended for them to do, functioning as that kingdom of priests and holy nation, if they were going to follow the covenant. And Moses has to give them that covenant again so that way they would know exactly what it is that they were supposed to do. Now, over here to chapter number 19 in the book of Deuteronomy as well, because we see that there's going to be a continuation of some things related to the killing of an individual. And we're going to read here, you know, and this is going to be some things related to the cities of refuge that are actually being mentioned here. We're going to pick up in verse number 11 of chapter number 19. It says, "But if any man hate his neighbor, and lie in wait for him, and rise up against him, and smite him mortally that he die, and fleeth into one of these cities, then the elders of the city shall send and fetch him thence, and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die. Thine eyes shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with thee." And the idea is that there were these cities that were being prepared for individuals that if they were, you know, not that idea of that somehow, you know, if they were truly guilty of committing this transgression of the law, if they truly had killed someone in this manner, they were not to have this type of protection inside of this city. Now, and if that had occurred and someone came and said, proved that what they had done was wrong and that they had killed someone, the punishment for murdering someone was death. And so when you see how the thing of this accusation that is made related to the nation of Israel, speaking about how they had killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets, that the result of that should have been the death, should have been the complete cutting off of the nation. But you see how God keeps trying to extend a measure of grace towards them, giving them chance after chance after chance, even though they were breaking the things that were part of law, breaking the things that were part of this covenant that they had said that they were going to actually be able to follow, that they said that it would be part of who they were. Felt like it was not going to be a problem for them to actually do these things. And yet, time after time after time, they failed to follow the things of that covenant. And it led to, you know, numerous times where God was pouring out his wrath on them. Now, we're going to continue on next time looking at some issues related to the nation of Israel and how they are guilty of the fact of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the prophets. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to watch our Sunday messages live as they're being broadcast on Facebook. We also have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study, you know, through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions, comments about anything in these broadcasts, anything in our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.